Hey everybody, welcome to It's Just a Lot with Hannah Crouch. I am your host, Hannah Crouch, and I'm so excited you're here today. Guys, this is the very first episode. That's kind of insane, kind of crazy. I'm so pumped. I'm going to be just so straight up right off the bat because I want that to be the vibe for this whole show. I've tried to record this episode like 6 times. So there are a lot of episodes that have already been recorded that are just definitely not the first episode, because there's a lot of like pressure about the first episode. You just want to make sure that you get the first episode right. I want to make sure I'm being authentic, but I also want to make sure that what I'm saying actually makes sense. So making sure that it's not scripted, but I'm also not just like going on tangents for 30 minutes. That's kind of a hard thing to balance. So this is totally a learning curve for me. So please have grace. I'm so excited that you're here though, and that we can kind of go on this journey together. I am super, super pumped. I am actually really, really excited about what I'm going to talk about today. You might have seen the title and been like, burnt quesadillas. What the heck is that about? What is she going to talk about? That's crazy. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you the story that inspired today's episode. So probably about a week ago, my parents were making dinner for us as a family. I had requested that we have fajitas for dinner, okay? I love fajitas. I love all Mexican food, but fajitas are like a personal favorite of mine when we make them at home. My dad will like make them on the grill. It's super good. So that's what I had requested. That's what we were doing. My dad is really good on the grill. Like, I'm very grateful that dinner at my house is normally really good. And he takes a lot of pride in the food that he makes for our family. So he came in with like a plate of, you know, what kind of looked like a mishmash of chicken and bell peppers and tortillas and all the things. And he was like, I think I just made the most like mid meal that I've ever made for you guys. He didn't say mid, but like, I don't remember what he said, and that's the gist of it. And he was like, they're really burnt. They're super burnt. And honestly, I don't even think they're fajitas. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm sure they're great. You're a great cook. Like, you're really good on the grill. And he sets them down. And the first thing I see is that the tortillas, like most of them are black, right? So I'm like, okay, like maybe they are a little crispy, but that's okay. I don't mind. And then I kind of get a closer look and I realize that, yeah, they're definitely quesadillas. They're not fajitas. Like, they're put together with cheese in the middle and like all the things. And that's also totally fine because, like, honestly, Mexican food is all very similar. At least like our renditions of it is very similar. So I wasn't even upset. But he sets it down and I was like, okay, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. This is maybe not the fajitas that I was expecting to eat tonight. They're quesadillas and they're a little smoky. They're a little crispy. But we ate them and they were good. And he apologized probably 5,000 more times. And my mom and I just laughed it off and were not upset at all. We ate them. We enjoyed them. We were grateful that we had food to eat and that it was honestly really good, especially for it being something that my dad was not proud of. It was really good. And that kind of just got me thinking. Like, it was a really silly thing, but it totally had me thinking about like how we deal with, I guess, disappointment. How do you deal with like your expectations not being met? Because I had requested fajitas, right? And like, you can sometimes get in your mind a certain way that you expect things to be. You have a really specific way that you want something to go. You just have a certain like bar that you expect to be met, right? And so when that's not reached, we can get really frustrated and really upset, and that is totally understandable. And I just feel like the whole burnt quesadillas situation was a really good metaphor, and I think there was a lot to be taken out of it. So I just want to kind of talk about that. I think one thing to be taken away from this story, and again, it's a silly story, so like literally everything I say, you're probably going to be like, girl, it's not that deep, it was dinner. And like, I get that, but for me, everything is that deep. So sorry. but I think that we react to things based off of our past experiences. So if, for example, my dad is like known for always burning dinner or always making the wrong thing or not really caring about the food that he makes, like whatever, then I maybe would have been a little bit like upset about it, you know? Then maybe I would be frustrated and be like, you don't even care about what you're making, like it's always the same thing, then I would have been frustrated. But the fact of the matter is that that's not what has happened. You know, he shows a lot of care in all of the food that he makes and honestly everything that he does. Like he takes a lot of pride in all of his actions and his service to his family. And for us, like, I think that looks different in so many different parts of life, if that makes sense. Like, we react based off of past experiences and things add up. So if you have a reputation of being somebody who's like always late or never has their stuff together or is never going to put in the same amount of effort that people are putting in to you, you know, people are going to honestly have a little bit less grace for you. And sometimes I struggle with that because I don't know if that's always fair, you know, but a lot of the time it is. And that's just kind of how the world works, that we learn who people are based off of their actions. And when we prove ourselves to be people of good character, and when we prove ourselves to be people who love other people and care about them and take the time to serve them the best that we can and put effort into relationships, then people are going to treat us as those kinds of people. I have some friends that are always on time and are always really good at like checking in on me and just being like overall a very kind person. And so on the rare occasion that they are not that way and that maybe they're really, really late or maybe they say something kind of mean to me, just like offhand, whatever, I'm a lot quicker to forgive that than I am when it's somebody that does it all the time, because I know that's not who they are. And I know that everybody has an off day, everybody has a bad day, everybody sometimes makes quesadillas instead of fajitas and burns them really badly. So I think for me, that is just sort of a call to prove myself to be the kind of person I want to be, show people that I'm loving, show people that I care and that they are worth my time, because I want people to treat me like that person. I want to be treated as someone who is trustworthy and who is loving and who is a good friend and a good student and a good, you know, employee, all of those things. I want to be treated that way, so I have to act that way. And I think circling back to the dinner story, my mom and I were not mad at all, even a little bit, at my dad, because he didn't do it out of just carelessness or selfishness or whatever. It was just a little off night, and that's totally fine. I think it's also important in situations where you are being disappointed, you know, where somebody has not treated you accordingly, somebody has burned your quesadillas, to affirm that person and let them know that it's okay. I think we should always like lead with love and lead with forgiveness, because people are worthy of that. And so I think it's important to say, you know, it's okay. Like, I would have done the exact same thing. I get it. I try always to empathize with people and try to put myself in their shoes. Really try to imagine with all of the information that is accessible to me, okay, if my life was like theirs, would I do that same thing? How could I see myself getting to that point where I would do that? I just try to put myself in a position of understanding where they're coming from and understanding, okay, their mind might just not be on it today, or they could have had a lot going on at home and that's why they're late, or they could, you know, be thinking about a past experience with somebody else and that's why they made that comment to me. It wasn't even about me. I try not to get upset first. I try to let things go first. I choose to believe that it's not about me when people treat me poorly or mess up or let me down in some way. I try to believe that it's not about me, and I try to lead with, that's okay. Like, it's okay. And sometimes it's not okay, right? In this instance, I'm talking about quesadillas. It's for real not that deep. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it is a big deal and it's not okay. And in that instance, you can say, hey, I'm really upset right now, but I know that you're not a horrible person. I just need some time to process what just happened. And then I really would urge you to like work actively to get to that place and get to a place of forgiveness, because that is so, so incredibly important. Forgiveness is key. I think especially as a Christian, forgiveness to me is something that we all have a duty to do, because God forgave us and nobody has offended us or let down us the same way that we have offended or let down God. And if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this podcast, I'm so glad that you're here. This podcast is for everybody, no matter what you believe or what your life looks like. But I am a Christian, so I'm definitely going to be talking about that a lot. I hope that you stay and, you know, even if you kind of zone out when I talk about Jesus, that's totally up to you. But I hope that you stick around and listen and hear what I believe and what kind of rules my life, because I found so much fulfillment in that, and I want that for all of you guys. Yeah, I just think that being like a good friend and being a good, I don't even want to say good person, because I don't think that actions and morality are always the same, which maybe we'll get into that. That's kind of like a lot to process in a conversation about burnt quesadillas. But I think it's important to affirm the disappointer. That is kind of what I wrote down in my notes when I was thinking through this story and all of the things I thought I could take away from it in my own life. I was like, okay, when I'm disappointed, I think it's important to try to affirm the disappointer, be the bigger person, say, that is okay. It's okay. Like everything is going to be okay, even if it's not right now. Take it upon yourself to like make the situation okay, even if it's not. And then how do we, like, what do we go from there? Because, okay, like, somebody's let you down, you've affirmed them, you've reacted based off of past experience, like, you think that you have treated them correctly and accordingly. I think that setting it up well for next time is really, really important, because if you don't change something, it could totally happen again. You're probably going to hear me say this 1,000,005 times if you become a fan of this podcast, which I hope that you do. But communication is one of the most important things in the world. If you do not communicate what went wrong or what about the situation let you down, they're not going to know to change it. Just because you throw a fit about it doesn't mean they are going to know to change it. I kind of live with the mindset that if somebody has not told me something directly, then it doesn't exist. And I don't mean that I don't take hints or I don't take social cues or things like that, but if somebody has not said to me, not through another person, not in like a subtweet situation, but if somebody has not come to me and said, hey, this upset me, or hey, I have this problem with you, then I'm not going to act like there's a problem, because I choose to believe that people are communicating their needs the same way that I'm communicating my needs, not necessarily the same way. I feel like I should clarify that. Like, everybody's going to communicate differently. So you don't have to communicate exactly the way that I communicate. But I do expect, like, when you're a little bit older, like, we're not in middle school anymore, like, we can talk to each other. We can say that there's a problem, or that we're upset, or that something's not working. Like, we can communicate that. And so if somebody is not telling me that, and somebody just expects me to hear it from somebody else or assume because they're giving the cold shoulder, whatever, like, I'm not going to take those hints. Like, I expect my friends to be a big kid and tell me if something's going on. And sometimes that doesn't always work. Sometimes people don't get it, and I have to initiate the conversation of, hey, something is going on, and I know that, and like, we have to talk about it. That's totally fine. But I do think that communication is so important. I don't want to go on a whole tangent about that whole philosophy, but like, if you have been let down, if you're on that side of being the one who has been hurt in whatever situation, you need to say, hey, this was really hurtful, and this is why, and here's what I think we could do better next time. And hopefully that's not just a one-sided conversation. Hopefully the other person is receptive and apologetic and willing to work on a better solution. Sometimes they're not going to be, and that is a hard thing to deal with when you feel like you've done literally all you can to like make the situation better and to set you up for success next time, and the person just doesn't really care. That's really hard. It probably will happen at some point. I'm sorry. It sucks. I've been in that situation where I have literally done everything and communicated everything and like tried different tactics and all the things, and the person just doesn't care. Like, they aren't willing to put in the effort to change anything. So that definitely happens, and it's hard. And learning how to then shift your expectations is really important. You know, if you say, hey, next time, can you please make fajitas, and can you please make sure you're watching the grill and so they don't get burned? Like, can we adjust, you know, the timing, and can we adjust what we're doing here? And then they keep making burnt quesadillas over and over and over every single day. Then just stop asking for fajitas. Just know they're not going to make them for you. Look for somebody else to make them or make them yourself. Don't expect them to change something when they've proven that they don't want to or aren't capable of doing it. And that's a really, guys, it's so hard to learn. Something that's really important to me about this podcast, and like, I probably should have said this at the beginning, whatever. I never want this to feel like I'm just like preaching at you guys or like, I don't know, like up on a pedestal being like, hey guys, look at me because I'm so cool and so smart and like I know so much. That's not true, even a little bit. I know not a lot, and I think I'm cool and smart, but I also think that most people are cool and smart, and I think you should think that you're cool and smart. So I just want this to feel like a conversation. This is me sharing my thoughts. And again, like I said, it's going to be a learning curve. So some of these might feel more scripted. Some of them might feel a little bit more just like me talking. I'm figuring out what works best for me and how to like be my most authentic self. So that's kind of a process for me, but I never want to feel like I'm just like telling you guys what's best, because I don't know what's best for you in your life. I'm just talking about what's worked in my life and what I've learned in my own experiences, and I hope that it's helpful or entertaining to you. Now I want to talk a little bit about what to do if you are the one who has let somebody down. If you're the cook, if you're the one who burnt the quesadillas, what do you do? I struggle with this. I hate letting people down. I hate doing things wrong. I would say I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, especially when it comes to like other people and in relationships and communication. I'm such a perfectionist. I want everything to be right. I want to be the best friend, the best everything that you could possibly be all the time. And that's not possible. I screw up. I let people down and I hate it. My tendency when that happens is to shut down and just like avoid the conflict. And I've learned that that kind of comes from just embarrassment of like knowing that I messed up and feeling like I could have done better. And that's not healthy. It's not productive, because that means that I'm not really doing everything I can to make amends. I think that an apology is really important, and this can be kind of hard because in my experience on being on the other side of being hurt, I don't want people to apologize to me if they're not sorry, but I also just want them to be sorry. I've had people before say like, well, I'm not going to apologize to you because I'm not sorry about it. And I appreciate their honesty, but at the same time, that is one of the most hurtful things, because sometimes you just want people to be sorry. So if you are the one that's in the wrong, let's say you're not sorry, I think you really need to like evaluate at that point how much that relationship means to you. Because if it's somebody you care about and you hurt them, even if you don't necessarily think that it was a big deal or you don't think that it was wrong, if you actually like genuinely like that person and care about them and want to have a relationship with them, it should hurt you that you hurt them. And that, like, that should make you sorry. You know, you should be sorry if you hurt somebody you care about. So if you do that and you're not sorry, I think you need to evaluate if you actually care about them. And honestly, I've been in that spot before where I've done something hurtful and somebody has kind of called me out and been like, hey, that was really hurtful to me. And that didn't immediately like convict me. I wasn't immediately like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And that made me realize that I did not want to be friends with this person as much as I thought that I did. I didn't like this person as much as I thought that I did. Now, that didn't take away the fact that I hurt them. That did not take away my responsibility to fix what I had done. But it did mean that in the future, I could kind of correct my closeness and the access that this person had in my life. And so I wasn't exposing us to like future hurt, if that makes sense. But I think if you are sorry, like, you need to apologize. Even if you're embarrassed or you think they're not going to accept your apology or you know that you can't fix it, you need to have a sincere apology. And there is such a difference between apologizing and saying you're sorry. Most people do not care if you say the words, I'm sorry. Because what does that mean? If those words are empty, it doesn't mean anything. If you just say you're sorry, but there's no change in behavior, that's not a true apology. An apology is like a grief over the wrong that you did, or a grief over the hurt that you caused. It's communicating that. And I think it is so, so, so important for your apology to not be made up of, it hurt me so bad to do this to you. One of my biggest pet peeves in relationships, and I'm literally about to get heated just talking about this, is when people, when they come to apologize, just talk about themselves. And they're like, this is what was going through my head when I did this, and that's why I wasn't even thinking about this thing. And honestly, I have been so upset ever since I did it, and I've just been crying myself to sleep every night, and I can't even bear to think about how hurtful it was, and I am just so shut up. Like, that's what I want to say. Shut up. Stop talking. Stop. Stop it right now. Like, this might make me sound like a bad person, so I need to make sure I phrase this right. But if somebody has hurt me, when they're apologizing, I don't want to hear how bad it hurt them to hurt me, because they did it. It was their choice. It doesn't matter that it was also hurtful to them. It should be. When you hurt somebody you care about, it naturally is going to hurt you too. That's not the other person's fault. And when you're apologizing, you don't need to like give that burden to them of like, this is how hurt I've been ever since I did this thing to you. That's not on them to carry. And so when you're apologizing, don't make it about you. Don't make it about like, this is what I've been going through. You need to, I say you, ugh, I'm sounding preachy again. We is good. We need to sound a little bit more like, I understand that this was really hurtful because of this, and I'm sorry that I was careless, or I'm sorry that I didn't listen, whatever it was, like, make it genuine, don't write a script. But honestly, if writing down your feelings and your thoughts about it helps, do that. That's okay, as long as it, like, comes from you and not, like, friggin' ChatGPT. Like, please don't have an AI write your apology. I see these ads for AI all the time, and there's one that's, like, this guy's girlfriend breaks up with him, and so he gets AI to, like, write an apology text, and then they get back together. And it's an ad for AI. I'm sorry, but, like, that's so actually terrifying. But anyway, make your apology genuine, and also you have to pair your apology with action. You can't just say, I see how this was hurtful, and I'm going to do better, and then not do better. It's okay if you ask questions, and you're like, hey, what can I do in the future to not have this happen again? Like, what does that look like? And be, like, commit to it, please. Either commit to it or just be upfront about the fact that it's not going to happen. Like, if you just have to say, hey, I know that this hurt you, but, like, I can't promise that it's not going to happen again. In that case, like, that's a really hurtful thing to say, but at least it's out there. And then you can adjust the relationship expectations accordingly and probably get some distance between you. But you have to pair it with action. You have to try to do better as a friend if you want to keep your relationship. And sometimes that's going to be a lot easier. Sometimes it's going to be really, really hard. Like, sometimes it's literally just going to be like, hey, I'm going to make sure that I communicate plans a little bit better, and like, I'll send you a text if I can't make it sooner than an hour before. Sometimes it's that, and that's pretty easy. And sometimes it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of communication and a lot of trial and error, and both parties are going to have grace with each other. And listen, I understand, like, I'm young. If you're a little bit older than me and you're listening to this, you could be like, girl, you're in high school. Like, what are you talking about? You have not experienced difficult relationships, whatever. The last probably like year, I would say, I have learned so much about how to do conflict in friendships specifically, and how to deal with disappointment, and how to deal with apologies on both sides, like how to be hurt and how to fix hurting other people. I have learned so much, and I feel like I have so much to say. I know I also have still so much to learn, and that is totally fine. But I do feel like I have so much to say about it. So I've definitely learned a lot. I'm going to go back to communication for a second. Communicating your expectations is really important. I think when you have friends, you need to be very just honest with them and with yourself about what you expect out of that friendship. If you expect fajitas, say you expect fajitas. And if you expect quesadillas, say you expect quesadillas. If you just want it to be like a chill hangout situation, and that's all you want from that, great, amazing, say that. If you want it to be like, you are my ride or die, we're doing life together, you're my sister now, you're my brother now, like, that's our bond, then you need to communicate that too. Also, on the other side of that, it's really important to communicate your capacity to fulfill other people's expectations. And I touched on that a little bit, but I don't just mean in a negative way of, like, not being able to fix what you've broken, but, like, if somebody has an expectation that you're gonna hang out once a week and that is just not an option for you, it's okay to be like, hey, I can't do that, but I can make sure that I call you once a week and we can have like a 30-minute phone call while I'm driving in the car. Like, you just have to be able to communicate your expectations, and friendships are gonna change. All relationships are gonna change. That's not just about friendships. Relationships change over time and in different seasons. And sometimes you have to reevaluate expectations, reevaluate capacity. And that's also totally okay. And that's not always going to be like a sit-down conversation that lasts an hour and you cry and you hug at the end and violin music plays like on Full House. That's just not, that's not going to be the vibe. And that's okay. I have a lot of conversations with my friends that are reevaluating boundaries, expectations, capacity to fulfill that, like what our friendships look like. Like, we have those conversations as friends a lot, and sometimes they are very short and not that deep, but they are just as productive as like an hour long conversation where it's super serious. Sometimes more so, because sometimes you just don't need that much time. So back to the story, like, let's reevaluate. Let's make sure I covered all my bases. If you are expecting fajitas, say that. Say you want fajitas. If somebody has never messed up your dinner before and they do it once, don't flip out on them. It's probably just an off day. Not that big of a deal. If you burn somebody else's quesadillas, even if it's the first time, apologize. Make it right. Let them know that you're sorry. And then communicate expectations for next time. Make sure you're saying, hey, no, this was great and it's really okay and I still love you. However, next time let's do fajitas instead of these burnt quesadillas. And then honestly eat them anyway and have a good time. Make the best of it. I think making the best of disappointment and making the best of a situation even when expectations were not met is the best possible thing to do in a situation like that. It's really, really important to make sure that you're not letting one little thing just like mess everything else up. Like, I think it's important to just say, it's really not that deep. Like, burnt quesadillas, not that deep. An offhand comment that somebody made, probably not that deep. Somebody being 20 minutes late, probably not that deep. Literally just the other night I went to the drive-in with friends and we were honestly like 45 minutes late to the movie. And like, we still had a great time. We laughed it off. It was not that deep. Like, we could have chosen to be really butthurt about it because people were late. Like, we 100% could have done that. And that's so easy for me because I am a freak about being on time. We could have totally done that. And all of us just chose not to. And we chose to brush it off. And we had a great time anyway. And it was great. It was a great time. Nobody was that upset. So it's not that big of a deal if somebody burns the fajitas and they're not even fajitas, they're quesadillas. Like, it's fine. All of that to say, dealing with disappointment is hard. Not meeting other people's expectations is hard. Other people letting you down is really hard. It's just a lot, if you will. I hope that this was a little bit helpful in letting you kind of process disappointment, expectations, all of those things. I know that kind of using that story as a metaphor was helpful to me in my own brain. I think for everybody, no matter where you are in your relationships, friendships, whatever, there's something to be learned from it. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Oh my goodness, the very first episode is officially a wrap. We've done it. If you enjoyed today's podcast and you want more of it, make sure that you follow It's Just a Lot Pod on Instagram. Right now, you can find me on Spotify and Google Podcasts. I will hopefully be up on Apple Podcasts and a few other streaming platforms shortly. Make sure you tell your friends, put it on social media, interact with me. I would absolutely love to get to know you guys. Let me know what you want to hear me talk about. I have a bunch of things lined up and ready to go, but I am always willing to take suggestions. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, night, week, whatever. Make sure that you come back. A new episode will be out every other Monday. So follow me on whatever platform you listen to me on. Make sure that you have a reminder set because I want to see you here again. It's just going to keep getting better, guys. This is ground zero. So thank you guys so much, and I will see you next time.